Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 213. It is a very busy time in Portugal. We had two clubs this week playing in European competition, the Europa League. I found the results to be very disappointing, and I'll tell you why. Not looking good for the second leg. We, of course, had the Clásico surprise, Porto winning big. What happened? Is Roger Schmidt going to be dismissed soon? I don't think so, but I've got some thoughts about what's going on with Roger Schmidt and why all the issues. Roberto Martinez next week will be making his squad selections for the Sweden and Slovenia friendlies coming up later this month. Will he call in any new faces? I've got a few suggestions on why I think he should call. And then, of course, we'll have our usual Liga report, second division report, women's football. And we'll also do some Big Four reporting going around the league with some of the big news from this past week. And by the way, great, great news this week regarding my club in the fifth tier, my favorite club, my family's hometown club, Athletico dos Arcos. Not only did they win this week, but one of their rivals lost. We have increased our advantage. Will this be the year that we finally get promoted to the fourth tier? We shall soon find out. And that is going to be what is going to be here for episode 213. And again, any comments, you don't like something I said, any suggestions or anything that you want the world to hear about in the world of Portuguese football, Portuguese soccer, please email me at psoccercom@gmail.com. psoccercom@gmail.com. And before I get going, like I always do at every episode, what was going on in Portugal last year at this time? And we're talking about entering the second week of March. Last year at this time, Porto played the second leg at home against Inter Milan, and they suffered a 0-0 draw, which got them eliminated. They played a very, very good match. Sergio Conceição was very honest. He thought they were the much more superior team. But the name of the game is to score goals, and Porto didn't. And as a result, they were eliminated. And if I recall correctly, Pep even had a bit of an injury. We did see some good news, at least in the lower levels. Sporting's under 19 team beat Liverpool, and Sporting's team advanced to go play in the semifinals of the UEFA Youth League. So that was some very good news regarding youth football in Portugal. We saw last year at this time a name we don't hear about a lot. Florentino of Benfica was going to be on a preliminary call list that Roberto Martinez was on, and the newspapers were talking about how he was going to finally get his big call-up. And big story out of Braga. Every time that Ricardo Horta scored against Braga, Braga would win. And that was the story leading up to the big match coming up this weekend, a year ago this time, between Braga and Porto. So that's what was going on. I remember that disappointment with Porto drawing at home 0-0. that was very, very disappointing, but that happened a year ago at this time. Let me start off episode 213, and I want to start off regarding the Europa League. In my opinion, very, very disappointing results with Sporting drawing with Atalanta and with Benfica drawing at home with Glasgow Rangers, which almost became a loss had the Glasgow Ranger player not committed an own goal that enabled the match to be tied 2-2 in the Luge. But we were playing at home. Two Portuguese teams playing at home. Sporting played on Wednesday because they couldn't play on the same night at Benfica because their stadiums are too close. And against two teams, I know Atalanta won the group that Sporting was in the Europa, and then here they were meeting again. But the Italian sides hit the post three times. Sporting only hit the post once. I thought the Italian side looked a little bit more dangerous. I know at the beginning of the game, Mourinho rested some of the players like Goyokeres. But in my opinion, Sporting really needed to win and go to Italy with a better result, and that did not happen. I thought Benfica, Glasgow Rangers, a very big club in Scotland, with a big tradition in Europe. It doesn't probably seem that way for some of the younger audience, but back in the day, they were very much a power. And obviously these days, Scottish football has dropped a little bit, but still respectable in my opinion. But Benfica playing to 2-2. Rangers got on the scoreboard first. And it's been, in my opinion, a very disappointing result because, number one, when you play at home in these elimination rounds, these knockout rounds, it's important that you win, and it's important that you win by at least two goals. That's always been my rule of thumb in these things. I'm happy that Porto won last week. They beat Arsenal. But 1-0 is a good win, but it's not a great win in terms of now having to go to the Emirates. So, look, we have chances here. I'm not going to sit here and say they don't have a chance. I mean, last year, right around this time, Sporting played Arsenal, and we saw what they did, and that fantastic goal by Pote from midfield, shocking the Emirates. Last year at this time, we're almost about a week away from that. But at the end of the day, I think the Portuguese clubs, for their chances in Europe, really need to have positive results, and only Porto was managing, able to win their first leg. They are going to play next Tuesday at the Emirates, and that is not going to be easy. Porto must score first, and they must go into the second half losing by either one goal, 1-1 draw, or winning. Arsenal, I think their only loss lately has been to Porto, but everything else they've done domestically in England, they have won. And I think they've even scored a whole sack of goals. Porto's got to be very careful, but Porto's got to play the match of the season to try to get past one of the Premier League best teams. Possible, yes. My only concern is I wish we had scored more than one goal. And I'd wish that in the case of Sporting going to Italy, in the case of Benfica going to Glasgow Rangers, that they would have gone with an advantage. I would have taken one goal, but I would have liked to have seen two. But at the end of the day, we don't. But having said that, that does not mean it's over. There is opportunities. A lot of people say that the second leg is wide open, and it is wide open. Mathematically speaking, of course it's wide open. It's basically starts 0-0 because away goals rule, as you know, is no longer valid in Europe. But at the end of the day, it's very disappointing because we have to win these type of games at home, and we need to do it by at least two goals, and that's the formula in Europe. To advance. But we wish him the best of luck. The Benfica match on Thursday, they're the first match at 17:45 Portugal time. And that's generated some controversy in Scotland because they feel like that match is too early. And then the Sporting Atlanta match would be at 2000 hours next Thursday, the week after I drop this episode. Porto Arsenal, fantastic match. That'll be played on Tuesday, 2 days before the Europa. That'll be playing on Tuesday, and that'll be at 2000 hours. So a big week for Portuguese clubs. Hopefully two of them advance, or at least at the very least one goes to the quarterfinals. Can Portuguese clubs make it to the quarterfinals of European competition? We shall see. I think Sporting, in my opinion, has the best chance of all these clubs, but they've still, in my opinion, they've got it really tough going to Italy. But if you were to say if there's a club, especially with Goycalves, the way he's been scoring. And by the way, Goycalves, if you want to prove yourself to be this player that everybody hopes you are, and for all the money that Sporting hopes you bring this summer, this is the time to really cash in and have a big game in Italy. Because if you do, then you solidify yourself as one of the top targets this summer in the transfer window. You don't do anything. If Pote doesn't do anything, if Paulinho doesn't do anything, then that probably explains why you guys haven't made the big move yet. So this is a big move game. I call this a big move game for Sporting. I call this a big move game for Benfica for some of the players looking to move on. And I call this a big move game to Porto because making it to the quarterfinals would be a fantastic accomplishment and it would mean more people watching you. So we'll see what happens. The Clásico last week, look, I don't think anybody expected 5-0. And if you did, you must be a delirious fan, but nobody expected 5-0. Nobody expected to lose 5-0. Nobody expected to win 5-0. But Porto, who's been a little erratic this year, give them credit. I said last week, they absolutely, positively, no doubt about it, I don't want to hear you say anything else, had to win that match if they were going to have any hope at the very least of trying to battle for second place in the Champions League spot that comes with it, that they had to win. And give them a lot of credit with all the controversy. A week after, a few days after they beat Arsenal, Sergio Conceição comes up with another masterpiece. But it's a big result for Porto. And again, these two results with that and Arsenal, makes Porto Nation feel a lot better, and certainly brings down some of the tension that's been going around in the club, because we've seen Andres Villas-Boas and Pinto da Costa now going at each other through the media. And by the way, that election coming up at the end of April, wow, that is going to be one tightly contested election. The media are going to have a fun time with all these comments of them going back and forth with each other. Wow, 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 for when the time comes. So I'm looking forward to seeing that later on this year. But it's a surprising result. And does this mean that Roger Schmidt is in trouble with his job? There were reports that said that what happens in the Europa League could play a big factor. I personally do not see Roger Schmidt getting dismissed. It might mess with the club. I mean, let's not forget they're still in the title hunt. And that, by the way, is the number one objective of this club. So if they lose the Europa League, it'll be disappointment, but it won't be major, major disappointment compared to falling 5 or 6 behind in the Liga. And if that were to happen, if they were to fall that far behind in Liga, then I could see maybe Rui Costa making a decision. But this is Rui Costa's guide. It was his first big move as a president of this club, getting a Roger Schmidt. And in my opinion, I just don't see him getting dismissed. But if he loses 3 or 4 in a row, he goes to Glasgow and he's embarrassed again, I could see something happening. But as long as Benfica is in the title hunt, as long as they go down to the wire with Sporting, I just don't see them making a move. Now, this summer, could there be a change? Possibly. There were even reports in Germany that perhaps Bayern was looking at Roger Schmidt. Do they look at him now if there's all this disappointment in Portugal and all this bad opinion? We'll see. But again, he's from Germany. He's a native son. Bayern is, of course, a power, not to mention a power in Germany. That would probably be a good move for both of them, because I'm sure a lot of Benfica fans would like to see him leave. So that was a big result. That was a very, very big result. It took a lot of people by surprise. Porto fans, get ready for a very big match this weekend against Portimonense. But get ready for this big, big match on Tuesday. And if Porto can advance, they'll pick up more money in the Champions League. And that is something that the club sorely needs as well. So this is going to be very exciting to see. Roberto Martinez next Friday will be announcing his squad selections for the Portugal friendlies, the one in Guimarães against Sweden, and then the one a few days later in Slovenia. Personally, for me, this is a manager getting ready for the European Championship. I don't think there's going to be many wholesale changes. In other words, I would say my opinion right now, and obviously I'll add to this opinion because the next episode I do will be the day before he announces the squad selection. But in my opinion, I just don't see him making a lot of changes, and I continue to see him bringing in the veterans. I think I continue to see him bringing in the veterans. He's always talked about how it's one thing to bring in new players to see if they could play for the Seleção. But it's another thing to bring in players to basically get gelling, to get used to each other, so that all the players on the team who've already played with each other could continue to get to play with each other again. And that's the best weapon for this summer. So Eduardo Quaresma, Nuno Santos, Bruma, Galeno, Chico Conceição, Pote, Jota Silva, Guimarães, those are some of the players that I wonder if they're going to get called up. If you were to ask me, and I'm going to think about this a little bit more and come back with an answer next week, I think Galeno has a good shot. I think you always got to go with the hot foot. And there'll be an opportunity because Ricardo Horta is hurt from Braga, so his spot on the national team could be picked up by one of these players. Jota Silva Guimarães has done very well for Guimarães this year. He might be a very good player, so we'll see if, in fact, that happens. And let me give you, by the way, I'm going to do this every few weeks. I'm going to give you my predicted best 11 for Euro 2024 this summer. If the Euro was tomorrow, here is my prediction of who, in my opinion, Roberto Martinez would line up. Up front, Rafael Leão, Cristiano Ronaldo, Bernardo Silva. Then you've got Nuno Mendes, Bruno Fernandes, João Paulinho, and João Cancelo. Then in the back, you got Gonçalo Inácio, you got Ruben Dias, and Antonio Silva, and then, of course, you got the goalkeeper, Costa. That, in my opinion, is my predicted 11 for the Euro. And again, I'll be, if not every week, every other week, I will give an update onto it. Fortunately, hopefully nobody gets hurt. Hopefully we don't lose any players before the tournament begins. But in my opinion, that is right now the predicted players that are going to be playing at Euro this summer. Let's move along here and talk about Liga action. Of course, everybody knows the big result last week. But we saw Sporting at home in a comeback beat Feirense 3-2. We saw Braga last week defeat Estrela Amadora pretty easily, 3-0. We saw Vitória Guimarães go to Estoril Praia. Estoril Praia has been falling apart. Things have not been working out well lately with Vasco Seabra ever since they played in the League Cup final. It's almost like they put all their energy into it and now they're disappearing. But a big 3-1 win for Vitória Guimarães in their battle for fourth place. We saw Roca score 5 goals. They have been one of the best teams the last 3 months of the season, winning at last place Chaves, who have given up the most goals in the Liga. Roca 5, Chaves 1. And we saw a bit of an interesting result. Familia Kong at home playing to a 1-1 result against Boavista. And, of course, there was the standing Sporting 59. Sporting has played one less match, so they're in first place with one less match. You got Benfica in second with 58. You got Porto still 6 points behind second place Benfica, but still in the hunt with 52 points. But time is kind of still running out. You got Braga in fourth place with 49, and you got Vitória 5 points behind them with 44. And the race is definitely heating up. And then down toward the bottom in relegation, you got Chaves and Vizela, both of them sitting in last place with 18 points. And in the playoff spot against the team from the third division is Estrela Amadora sitting in 16th place with 22 points. Of course, they were promoted last season. And we have another week of football, of course. This will be match day 25. Basically, everything gets going on Friday. Porto will be playing in Portimonense. Of course, Porto is playing in the Champions League on Tuesday. You got Estrela Amadora at home to Casa Pia. You've got 4 matches on Saturday led by, I think, a very good match, Rio Ave Braga. You got Boavista taking on Moreirense. You've got only 2 matches on Sunday, Roca taking on Sporting, and Benfica will be at home. And if you're going to have any team coming to play at your place in a game that you need to win in front of your fans, it's right now struggling. Estoril Praia will be going to the loose, so that is a good opponent for Benfica to host to try to get the fans back on their side. And then everything wraps up on Monday with Gil Vicente taking on the Sportivo do Chaves. Second division report, things getting interesting. Santa Clara, first place with 53 points. AVS in second place with 52. Nacional sitting in third place with 47. Marítimo in fourth with 42. So they are 5 points off of their island rival in the Madeira. Nacional by 5 points. And again, we still have, eight or nine match days left. But Marítimo sitting in fourth place, but 5 points behind the playoff spot of third place, which if the season were to end today, would be Nacional playing Estrela Amadora. Turriens, my favorite club in the second division from Torres Vedras, beautiful town out there. They are sitting in fifth place with 39 points, but they are basically 8 points off of third place Nacional, and that is going to be very tough for them to catch up. A lot of matches actually being played on Sunday. We actually have five matches being played on Sunday. Benfica B, Santa Clara is perhaps maybe your top match of the weekend. FC Porto B is at home to Lenk Villavredense. Everything gets going on Friday with Leiria at home to Olivenense. And Nacional is going to be playing Académico do Viseu. Sunday, you got Tundela taking on Marítimo. That's a must-win match for Marítimo. And then everything will end on Monday. Belenenses is at home to Leixões, a pair of clubs near the bottom. And then AVS will be playing 2 days after Santa Clara plays. Second place AVS will be taking on Feirense from Santa Maria de Feira. So again, Santa Clara and AVS sitting on the top 2 spots. Second place and third place are separated by 5 points. So Santa Clara is looking pretty good so far, even though we still have plenty of football that is left to be played. Moving on to women's football. First off, their manager, Netu, had the draw this week, and it was the European 2025 draw, the qualifying round, and the Portuguese women's team got a very good draw. They got Bosnia-Herzegovina, Northern Ireland, and Malta. in this four-team group. So I think Portugal is by far the favorite in this group. And by the way, that's an accomplishment because a lot of times Portugal is not the favorite in the group. But obviously Portugal having qualified for the World Cup, they've raised their coefficient. I think they're in the top 30 now. They got what I think is a very, very good draw. I'm not going to sit here. Again, that's just the way this podcast is. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know about all these other teams that are playing. I'm not that fake enough. But in my opinion, probably Bosnia-Herzegovina may be the toughest one here. But the bottom line is this is Portugal's group to win. And if they take care of business, they should do very, very well. Moving on to women's football, Benfica continues to lead the way in first place with 40 points. Second place is Sporting, who has played one less match. They're 10 points behind, but they've played one less match. And Marítimo sits in third with 28. And Braga sits in a third place tie with them with 28 points as well. The big result last week was Sporting beating Braga 3-1. And as a result, that gives them Sporting the big advantage. So right now, again, let me repeat it again. Benfica 40, Sporting 33. Marítimo sits in third with one last match played with 28. And Braga sits in fourth with 28 points. That's the correct standing. So women's football continues to be dominated by Benfica. And the way things are going, it looks like it could be Benfica and Sporting finishing in the top two spots. And, of course, if that is the case, of course, as you know, in women's football this year, the top two teams in the Women's Champions League will be advancing to play in the Champions League next season. Let me jump around now and really talk about what's going on throughout the league. And I want to also kind of stick with the Big Four as well. Again, the big story this week was not just the Clásico loss, but the disappointment with Rangers. A lot of talk about Roger Schmidt. Will he go? Benfica has already surrendered, as of this recording, 42 goals this season. That was more than the total amount of goals they gave up all last season. Vlaco Dimos is probably looking at that stat right now in England, who was a goalkeeper last year, and he's got to be very happy. But there's no doubt that Benfica this year has just been giving up a lot more goals. I think their defense has been a little bit more Swiss cheese than I think some people want to admit. And the other problem also with Benfica is they're missing a Gonçalo Ramos. They're missing those type of players. You know, Benfica just had their most expensive transfer window here in January in terms of the amount of money that they spent in the January window to address some of the problems that they were having back in the fall. And they spent all this money. And the problem with Benfica is that Benfica's never had another Jonas. A player that came, I think he came from Valencia. I think there were some problems with him. But look at what he did in Portugal. And you always hope that there's another Jonas with Benfica. And the truth of the matter is that although there have been some players like Cabral who have scored some big goals and is certainly the reason why Benfica is still playing in the Europa League, and the other players they got from Brazil, they're not clicking on all cylinders. Rafa is, in my opinion, playing for a contract, and that's why he's doing as well as he's done. But it's one thing to say that the blame is on Schmidt, but I think the blame is also on the players who are not performing. And certainly some of the players that they got last summer are not performing. And whether or not that's the staff's fault, whether or not that's Rui Costa's fault, because he obviously makes the ultimate decision on the money to spend, or whether or not these are, in fact, people that Schmidt wanted and he is to blame, I don't know right now. But the point is they have just not been playing as well. I think that they should, and there's certainly something that has been going on. Moving on across the Liga, the Derby Cup, last week between Sporting and Benfica. 2.2 million people was the TV rating watched this match in Portugal on RTP1. RTP, of course, is a free over-the-air terrestrial channel in Portugal. And 2.2 million people watched this Thursday night derby. So it just tells you the strong interest that these type of games, the derbies, have. Other news, of course, we started to see Ruben Amorim continues to be linked with big clubs. Fabrizio Romano came out this week talking about in one of his tweets about, or X, excuse me, whatever they call it, about how, you know, he's got a $30 million release clause. Ruben Amorim does, and he was kind of hyping him up. Fabrizio Romano, by the way, somebody in Italy just came out recently and accused him. I'm not sure if this is a true story or not, so if it's not a true story, please let me know. But again, there was a report that somebody in one of the Italian clubs said that something to the effect of that, basically Fabrizio Romano offered to promote a player if he was paid and something like that. But whenever you see Fabrizio Romano, who usually reports the transfers, not necessarily is setting up a transfer by hyping a player, people wonder. But that was curious. It was just a tweet out of nowhere that Ruben Amorim has a $30 million release clause. I think we all know he's getting attention. But by the way, I talked to you last week. Is Ruben Amorim a good fit for Liverpool? Is he a good fit for Barcelona? We will find out. Personally, if there was some choices, I would probably go to Barcelona over Liverpool, and that's just my opinion. Mostly because I think with the language and the style of play, I think Ruben Amorim would be a little bit more successful in the new camp. And again, that's my opinion. Wendell of Porto got called up to the Brazilian national team. That is a very big move. Interestingly, one newspaper said that Wendell was not going to play this weekend because Porto's holding him back to be fresh for Arsenal on Tuesday, and then another newspaper said that he was going to be playing this weekend against Portimonense, and he's going to, return. It's like last week. There was one newspaper that said Antonio Silva was getting United interest, and that was the big one, and then there was another paper last week that was saying that he was getting Bayern interest. So it's always funny sometimes when you look at the newspapers and how they have conflicting reports, and that was certainly one of them. Other big thing, of course, that's I've kind of touched on earlier, and that's Andres Villas-Boas and Pinto da Costa are starting to do their war of words through the media. I am so dying to find out if these guys are going to be doing a debate, because I just think that would be so much fun. And Bonza of Braga continues to be on fire. I still think Braga has a shot to battle for third place, but they have been doing very well, and I want to give a shout out to Bonza. Let me move on now, and let me talk about my favorite team in Portugal. And I got to tell you, last Sunday when I saw this result, man, I was so pumped. I was so psyched. But last week, we won our match last week pretty handily. We defeated Milgacinte at home 2-0. But last week, the big match and by the way, again, my favorite club is Atlético dos Arcos. They play in the fifth tier, the districts in the Viana do Castelo region. Only one team, and there's about 16 teams in their table. Only one team gets promoted to the fourth division. And last week, my club, Atlético dos Arcos, beat Melgacente. But the big result was between the second and third place team. And the third place team, Guardiolense, defeated Moonsong 2-1. So right now, if you were to look at the table, we have a 9-point lead over Guardiolense and Moonsong. But Moonsong has played one less match. So I'm not going to get too excited, but you know something? It had been a 3-point lead for almost a month, and now it is a 6-point lead with literally about 6 match days left. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm happy, but that is a massive, massive result last week for Guardiolense, who also injects themselves back into the race. But the good news for us is that at least right now we have a 9-point lead. The pressure's on Moonsong, even though they've played one less match. They've got to win that match. But let's say right now I'm thinking about this advantage as a 6-point lead with about 6-7 match days left. I am happy. Big, big result. And this weekend, though, it gets pretty tough for us. The team in third place, Guardiolense, we've got to now go to play them. I think they're based in Viana do Castelo. So that is a very dangerous match. But you know what? We win that, we would have a 12-point advantage over them, and that would probably put Guardiolense out of the race. But if Guardiolense beats us, then they're going to be back in the race. And Moonsong will be taking on, it keeps getting difficult for them, thank goodness. They'll be taking on fourth place Valenciano, and this time they're going to be going to Valenciano. So this could be a big weekend. We win, and if Valenciano, fourth place, could beat third place Moonsong, we might be near what I've been waiting for a very long time. My dream to see them climb to the second tier. But for now, I'll take this year. Obviously, of course, going up to the fourth tier. But in order to do that, they need to win the table. So that is very, very exciting news. Wrapping up here with the mailbag, I have an email Again, the email if you want to send any comments, peacesoccercom@gmail.com. And that's from a gentleman named Marco Fernandez, who is writing from Massachusetts. I get a lot of visitors from there. And his basic question is very simple. How much does it cost to go see a first division match in Portugal? What is the average rate? Well, first of all, if you're going to go to a Porto, Benfica, or Sporting, many of those tickets go to the Sócios. They are very difficult tickets to get, but I know people who might get them for 30 or 40 euros, especially if a Sócio can't make it to the match. The tickets, when they are sold regularly to the public, they're actually not that expensive. It depends on the team they're playing. They range from anywhere from, I think, 20 to 50 euros. Your derbies, your clásicos, those are going to run up to 50, 60 euros easily. And certainly when you compare that to other European leagues, that is certainly, of course, very inexpensive. But in Portugal, that is some serious cash for some people. I'm going to be going to a Major League Soccer match, and I was surprised at some of the prices that I thought were more expensive than Portugal. My advice to people when they ask me about getting tickets in Portugal is, number one, you should be prepared to go to the stadium to buy tickets at the ticket window. And if not, ask them how they can buy tickets. A lot of times they will not answer you via tickets. They don't seem to sell tickets abroad. I've heard a lot of people make complaints about that. And I think also if you know anyone who's a Sócio, they might know people who are Sócios who maybe may not be able to go to the game. Now, I don't know if this is illegal in Portugal, you know, in terms of using somebody else's ticket, but that usually is one of the ways get it, is if you know somebody who is a season ticket holder, a Benfica pass, a Sporting Picot game box. They usually might know somebody you might be able to get tickets from. But if you're going to go to a non-Big 3 match, even Braga, tickets are anywhere from 10 to 20 euros. The food is great. What you would spend at an NBA game, and by the way, I know what it's like to spend at an NBA game. It's expensive. If you took that money and you spent it in Portugal, you could feed up to like six people. It's very different in Portugal. Anyway, folks, I'm going to wrap up episode 213 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. As I always say to you sincerely, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.